الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه.
Quran Quest, a program on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and we are on chapter 68 of the Quran. We're studying these chapters one by one in order to learn from them and practice those teachings in our life. And to help us with that is the always happy Brother Habib. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Habib. How are you doing?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah.
Let's listen to verses 15 onward from chapter 68 and we'll be back for the discussion. Don't go away.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeeb. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. When our verses are recited to him, he says, legends of the former peoples. We will brand him upon the snout.
You just listened to verses 15 onwards from chapter 68 of the Quran, Surah Al-Qalam, or the pen. So, Brother Habib, the first verse says, when our signs are recited to him, he says, myths of the ancient. This is about a person who God subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a lot of power and wealth to, and now he's calling the signs of God subhanahu wa ta'ala myths of the ancient.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. This in reality is how the disbelievers in the Holy Quran would try to fight against the Quran or try to bring up cases or debate the Quran by pretty much saying it's myths. By saying it's myths. And they themselves know it's not myths. They themselves know it's reality. Especially when the verses talk about what happened to people before them. And for example, saying that in the heavens that there's this and that. Till this day, we see people who do not have any intellectual arguments against the Quran, but rather come up with mere comedy, let's call it, against the Quran. So that's their way, that's their manner, that's how they've been, that's how they are, that's how they will continue to be.
There is some claim out there that some of the stories of the Quran or the Torah, for that matter, are stories that existed long before either books. What do we do with those arguments?
First of all, there are a couple of ways to talk to such people, or to talk to, or to
address this
question, and that is first of all that the people of Quraysh during that time, the polytheists of that time, did not once come and say, "Oh Muhammad, look, you brought this story. The story is wrong because this is what has been mentioned. This is what has been known." The Jews and the Christians also, whenever the Prophet would tell them a story, they would say, yes, we have this in our books as well. You're not lying. This is the truth. This is what happened. And even the revelation of Surah Al-Kahf. How did it happen, Surah Al-Kahf? Why was Surah Al-Kahf revealed? It was because people went to the people of the book. Mushrikeen went to the people of the book. They told them that this person is claiming to be a prophet.
About Muhammad.
Yeah. What should we ask him? He told them to ask him about the people of Al-Kahf, the people of the cave, to ask them about the Nun, to ask them about the story of Nabiullah Musa and Khidr, Al-Khidr. All of them have been mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf. And when they came with the story, it was the same story or detailed story of what was available in the books of the that were in the hands of the people.
So these were stories that the community didn't know about.
No, generally they knew about the stories.
But not the details.
The details, there are some details that not everyone knew about. There were details that were new even to the Christians and to the Jews. It explained, and they knew it was right because it explained
how things happened.
How things happened, explained many questions that they had in their mind. And there are things that stories like, for example, the people of Ad. It was known to them. It was known to the people of the Arab. Whenever they would travel with their caravans to trade and for business, they would go to Sham, to Levant. When they would go to Levant, on their path, they would see their graves, they would see their houses.
So the ruins were still there.
The ruins were still there. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing to address, this question.
Can we keep the second thing for after the break?
Sure.
Thank you very much. Let's go to the break and be back very quickly. Don't go away.
إن سألتم عن إلهي فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. So we're talking about how it's claimed that some of the stories that exist in the Quran and the Torah date to a history further behind, and perhaps that's where they came from. For your first argument against this, you said that the people of that time even saw the ruins of these people. The relics existed back then. It was even accepted by them. And the Prophet came up with details that he wasn't supposed to know, but he did. What is the second argument?
The second argument is that you're claiming that it's not true. What's your evidence that it's not true?
They're saying that they found these stories in like books that preceded either books.
The thing is that what did the Prophet's talking about reality. He's giving out the reality. And of course it's going to be available in some other books. Some stories are going to be in different books. The story of Noah.
Mm-hmm.
The story about the Ark of Noah. It was available in the Torah. It's also available in the Quran. Mm-hmm. Does that make it a lie? Or does that make it because the Prophet stole the story from the Torah? Or is because it was the reality that happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought it up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, and also gave other details. There are some details available in the Torah that are not available in the Quran as well. So it's the story. That story happened in reality and it's been transmitted in the Quran and it's been transmitted in the Torah. What's wrong with that?
And also other books perhaps.
Other books as well. If there were historians at the time, those historians would have to write it down.
Mm-hmm.
It's history. It's something that happened. It was an important event for humanity, for God's sakes. Flooding of the world. Those who believe that the entire world was flooded.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So at the end of the day, you know, there's going to be stories about it and it's going to be written down. So that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
Even concepts about the origin of, you know, like the movement of the stars and the movement of this and the movement of that, like laws of physics and whatnot available in the Quran, they might have been written down. That's mm-hmm. not an argument to come up and say that the Quran is made up. Or the Quran is just that the Prophet gathering information. I mean, the Prophet, before the Quran was revealed to him, it's been mentioned that he did not read or write. It has been mentioned that he used to only go to trade. He was never seen with the people of the book. He was never seen, for example, coming down to study.
His life was such that he couldn't have had this information way except from the divine.
Exactly.
And let's continue this. Because there are some sensible people out there, for instance, that say that, okay, so you guys have a story in the Quran which says that not in the Quran, as Muslims, that believes that the Prophet rode a winged horse to the skies, the Mi'raj. And to them, this can be nothing but a myth. Now, we're not opposing these people. We're trying to understand these people. How would they know that this isn't a myth? That, because it does obviously look sound a lot like a myth.
Again, it goes back to the first method that I addressed, the question prior. And the fact of the matter is that also when it was revealed to the mushrikeen or even to the hypocrites that the Prophet did have this ascending towards the heavens and then descending into a different place, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came and told them in detail about what they were doing that night, what happened during that night, he told them of things that he couldn't have seen where he was in Medina. And he told them about, for example, a caravan coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started telling things that not a normal person sleeping at that time could not have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was shown. There were signs that he had.
That verified the reality of his movement.
Now, like you're living right now, during this time, where you haven't seen the Prophet hasn't talked to you, you have no other information. I understand where you're coming from. But the thing is, that's not a reason to deny it. That's not a logical reason to deny the fact of the matter that Al-Mi'raj happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
That's important that there are ways to verify.
I understand it's difficult.
And it is.
That is why we have in the sayings that the best of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are those who live way after him. They live at a time where there is no hujjah. There is no evidence, there is no proof, and they believe in the Prophet sawadun ala bayad. Sawadun ala bayad is an expression of believing of what was written in the books.
Mm-hmm.
And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi details that their belief is so strong. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep it. I do have this faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives out belief.
Belief is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen our belief.
Thank you very much. Ilahi Amin. Inshallah for us and all our listeners and people out there. Let's take a short break and come back for the last part of this episode.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. On verse 15, we learned that we can't just simply deny things or dismiss things as myths. There is substantial reasons for it, mostly brought to us historically. And that some things are difficult to believe, but if there's a way to verify them, then there's no reason not to believe. God says about those people who simply dismiss these things as myth, "Soon we shall brand him on his snout."
Now, of course, the verses have been talking about some interpreters claim as a specific person, and that person is actually, let me just check out his name to make sure I'm right. It's about the name. Al-Khannas ibn Shuraik, right? Some of them state that, some of them state it's Al-Walid ibn Al-Mughira, right? And but at the end of the day, these attributes are pretty much general. They could be asserted to other people as well. And again, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating that he will brand him upon the snout.
It's not even saying nose, it's saying snout. It's like kind of an offensive way to say
it. It really means
it.
Trunk in the Arabic language. Uh-huh. Khartoum means trunk, elephant's trunk.
Yeah.
So either elephant's trunk or pig's trunk, or pig's nose.
Yeah, it's a kind of offensive derogatory.
It is offensive. If you look at the details and descriptions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought about this individual or these individuals, it is kind of, you know, harsh to some extent. But again, I've talked about this before. Some of them might, you know, debate me about it. But at the end of the day, sometimes you do have to be harsh with your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't always be super nice and please and thank you and whatnot. No. Sometimes you have to be hard. This is an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Your mission is big. Your goal is huge. It's either a matter of eternal punishment or eternal reward, right? So one trying to stop your message for small self-interest and self-desire and selfishness deserves to be humbled, as they call it in the Iraqi, they call it kasar khashma, to break their nose, break their pride.
Yeah.
Their pride is deserved to be
break
broken.
Break their pride. I think perhaps this is the goal of this verse.
Yes, it is. Really, really,
because
it is.
Because sometimes you can, I mean, I mean, most people, you cannot convince them through logic. There are other means, and one of them is by breaking their pride, I guess. Thank you very much, Brother Habib. It's always awesome talking to you. We really, truly learn a lot, and I want to express our gratitude to you and to our wonderful listeners for being with us. That's all the time that we have. If you would like to have access to our previous episodes, don't worry, there's an archive uploaded on the internet. Simply search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. Until next episode, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Quran Quest, the program that answers your Quranic questions.